Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour three rolling along this morning. Glad you can be with us. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. If you want to get your thoughts in on week number 10 in the NFL, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. All right, Jeff Saturday did win his coaching debut. Derek Carr, the Raiders quarterback, was very emotional yesterday. And it goes to show you the attachment that some players have to their situations. You know, we think of sometimes athletes are just like these big-time brand independent contractors. But some of them are emotionally attached to what they're doing. And Derek Carr is emotionally attached to what he's doing. Can you imagine last year where you are making a run late in the season to make the playoffs? You get a game at the end of the season against the Chargers and you win it and you are on your way to the postseason. And you're doing it in a year where tremendous turmoil, where your head coach is fired, Rick Bisaccia is taking over, you're playing hard for him, you go to Cincinnati, you play a good game against the Bengals, but not quite good enough. You lose, but you leave feeling like things are going to happen. And then Devontae Adams shows up, and there's a new coach in Josh McDaniels. You find yourself actually loving playing for Josh McDaniels. And you not only find out that you love playing for Josh McDaniels, but your teammates love playing for Josh McDaniels. And the entire offseason, there's this buzz about your team. The city is coming alive with the possibility that this could be something really, really special. You've got your college wide receiver on board. He just happens to be one of the best at it in the game. This coach is getting a second chance at being a head coach, and he's so intelligent in terms of offensive design. You've got Chandler Jones on the defense. There's a feeling like maybe you should be in the conversation amongst these AFC teams that are all going to be postseason bound. And then the season falls apart, and it falls apart in such a way that you're losing at home to a team that just went out and got a former center and television analyst to be their head coach. And now people are taking shots at your coach who you love and your team who you love. And you don't know what to do. And he got a little choked up yesterday. And to be honest with you, I don't blame him. Because it's hard when you spend months and months and months thinking about all the possibilities that you could be accomplishing to realize some point in November you haven't accomplished anything. We'll talk about Jeff Saturday's side of it coming up next as we continue in his Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We'll continue its Wake Up Call. All right, so, you know, Jeff Saturday winning yesterday really raised a lot of eyebrows, like, oh, wait a minute. Peter King pointed this out in his column. Apparently, in that long history of the Colts organization, and I have nothing to back this up other than what Peter King said, no one has ever won their coaching debut in the franchise history. He has the best winning percentage of anybody in the organization. So everybody who's ever coached the Colts, everybody from Shula to Dungy, to Chuck Pagano, everybody, Frank Reich, Jim Mora, they all lost their opening game. Except Jeff Saturday, the former television analyst, former center, winning in Las Vegas. And you know what he did? He made a quarterback change. He went, oh yeah, by the way, Matt Ryan is here to play quarterback, so we're going to have Matt Ryan play quarterback. And he did. He threw a touchdown pass late in the game and helped the Colts go on to win. So did Jeff Saturday brag about it? Did he talk about how everyone was wrong and this is for all you haters out there? Did he do that? Nope. Actually, afterwards he said, you know, he does respect the opinions of people who thought that this was crazy. He said it kind of was crazy. But he is very comfortable in who he is. He's very, very comfortable. And that's what we talked about it last week in his press conference, where he said, look, I've been around this game. I know this game. I've been in the playoffs. I've been around coaches my whole life. the idea that I don't know how to do this is kind of crazy. Like he was basically saying, look, I'm a football guy. So yeah, you know what? I'm going to go out and do it. And Matt Ryan said something interesting at the end of the game in which he was pointing out that he came in immediately and said, look, guys, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And Matt Ryan said he was very confident from day one. And I think the idea, I think Jeff Saturday comes into this job so differently than Mike McDaniel went to his, or Kevin O'Connell went to his, or Brian Daboll went to his, in that Saturday is like, I get eight games and I have no idea what happens after that, and I don't care. I'm not trying to show that I could do this. I'm not trying to be like, all right, I got my chance. I don't know when I'll get another chance. I better do it good. He's like, if I do good and they keep me, great. If I don't do good and I'm back on television, that's great too. It, you know, to me, I'm just going to take this opportunity to do the best I can. And if the best is good enough, then it is going to be good enough. And if it's not going to be good enough, then I'll know I can't do it. And they'll know I can't do it. And then I won't do it again. And that's a big difference in a lot of other people who are trying desperately, working their tail off to try to get it. And that's one of the reasons Bill Cowher said what he did. Right, when Bill Cowher said it was a disgrace, because it was so different than any other thing and any other progression that we've seen in the NFL. And really, to be honest with you, seen in a lot of other coaching ways. Oh, sure, there have been head coaches who have been hired, sort of plucked players plucked out of retirement to be a head coach. But for the most part, the process is if you want to be a coach, then you got to be working for $12,000 a year, working 70 hours a week, living on people's couches, and then you work your work, your work, your work. And then eventually at some point, you've gotten enough goodwill with a lot of people within your profession that somebody goes, you know what? I like that young guy. Or heck, I like that old guy. That guy's been around for 30 years. Doesn't matter. Whenever your time comes, you have built up so much goodwill with players and administrators. It's always interesting when I see, guys who have moved up into the front office, former players who have moved up into the front office, and they know who was their favorite coaches when they were playing, right? They know who was the guys that they were like, I had an eye on that guy. I remember that guy or whatever. Or advisors advising general managers on, hey, listen, the guy you really need to talk to is the defensive backs coach right there. He's really good. You really should talk to him about something. Jeff Saturday bucked all of that, right? Jim Irsay said, nope, screw it. I don't want a new up-and-comer as an interim coach. I don't even want John Fox or Gus Bradley that are on my staff as a interim coach. I'm not looking to just throw somebody in there and close out these eight games. I might have something in Jeff Saturday. You know what? I know him really well. I know his personality really well. I honestly have many times thought he could do it. Why not this? We're probably not going to the playoffs. We're probably not turning the season around. But you know what? There's something in this guy that I've known for a very long time that I think he could be the guy that does it. And I think that's what you saw. And I like the fact that Jeff Saturday respects people and their opinions enough. Because here's the one thing that Jeff Saturday understands. And this is why I think he's trying to think way ahead here. He can win this game on the road and go, all you haters, you're awful. I'm the best, blah, 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 whatever you want to say. But he also knows that next week could be a loss, and the week after that could be a loss, and the week after that could be a loss. And there's not any given point where you're so high on the mountaintop that you can't see the bottom of the mountaintop. And I think that's where he is. He, right now, he's riding high, but he can look down the mountain, and he can see where he can be in a couple of weeks. And I think he's very, very careful. Because the verdict isn't really out yet on if he can do this. He got a very good game from his players. He seemed to coach a very good game against the Raiders, and you could never take that away from him. But he's still got a number of games left, seven games left, to figure out if this is something that he's actually good at in the long haul. And to be honest with you, I've seen this enough in the NFL that it's not really any different than, let's say, Carolina winning for Steve Wilks or anybody else on an interim basis. We've seen that a few times where the players start realizing, some guys have jobs to protect. Not everybody's got a three-year contract with a lot of money attached to it that makes you impossible to cut. In fact, a lot of players on the Colts team don't have that. And there's a feeling like, okay, wait a minute, we need to really get organized here. We may not win, but we're going to be a lot more prepared because now we're starting to see that there's action by this organization. And that action at the end of the season may be me looking for another job, trying to land on with another team. Or in some cases, trying to stay in the league. Right? That's the other problem, is trying to stay in the league. As you get another influx of young talent through the draft, people become more expendable. The next thing you know, you're bouncing around going, well, I was playing and now I'm on a practice squad, or now I'm not in the league at all. And so you're seeing a lot of that with interim coaches, is that players play a little bit more, a little harder, because they're starting to see that there's rumblings now and things aren't safe. And I think they did that for Jeff Saturday. That's not to take anything away from Jeff Saturday, because I think it's a pretty good story. But we'll see in the next couple of weeks exactly where he is. But as I talked about at the top of the hour, there's a flip side to that story. And that flip side is what happened to the Raiders. And I feel for Derek Carr. I feel it's a collapse of so much buildup. And this is one of the reasons players don't like to believe their own hype, because they know that the journey is a lot more difficult than their mind, right? It really is a different mindset. I mean, these players really, I mean, they're human, but they really understand the road they are going to travel rather than we travel, right? We always talk like, you know, do they know they have a chance? They always know they have a chance, right? They always know they have a chance. There's not an NFL player that doesn't think he can beat that. He doesn't think his team could beat the Eagles. They just feel like it's so slim, and they don't. So for the Raiders to go, we thought we were going to be a playoff team. We thought that we would be an outstanding team. We thought we would be a team that was going to be leading our division or coming close to leading our division. They're not winning close games. It's adding up. And now they realize, oh, we're not going anywhere. We're going to wrap the season up and be done. And that's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard for Derek Carr and the Raiders. I feel bad because they love their coach. They love Josh McDaniels. You can hear it in his voice how much they love him. But it's not going anywhere. And for Josh McDaniels, I wonder if in the end he's going to survive the first year. Are they going to give him a second year?
Was this the worst loss of the season for him?
It's got to be, right? Because it's a loss against a team that is so vulnerable.
Yeah.
That was so vulnerable. I mean, yeah, again, be wary of the desperate team. I always say that in this league. Be wary of the desperate team. But this was, you know, you have it at home. You're coming off back-to-back road losses. You get to settle down a little bit, and you're playing a team that's in disarray.
You're playing against a coach that, quite frankly, the narrative all week long was he shouldn't be coaching.
Right. Shouldn't be coaching. Doesn't know what he's doing. How could they make a mockery of this? And you know, now they're 2-7. Like could the Raiders win 8 in a row and be 10-7? I guess, but
you just don't see it happening.
Just don't see it happening. You know, I mean, there's more winnable games on their schedule, but there's some tough ones too. They still have to play the Chiefs. They have to play the Niners. They have to play the Chargers. They have to play the Seahawks. That's tough. That's tough. It's going to be really, really hard. They're probably not going to. If we were blown away by what the Dolphins did, winning 7 in a row, imagine what we'd say about the Raiders if they pulled off an 8-game win streak. We'd lose our minds. But you know what? They're losing close games. That's the whole thing. It's not like, I mean, they're losing, what were they, 0-5 or something like that in one-score games this year? Like, it's nuts. Like, I'm trying to do the math right now. There's 3, there's 4, there's 5. I think that's 6. That's 6! They're 0-6 in one-score games. That's crazy. The only time they got annihilated was against the Saints a couple weeks ago in New Orleans. They lost 24-0. That's the other thing. I mean, it's just been a terrible year. Terrible year. But yeah, to lose to a team that benched its starting quarterback only to have a new coach revive that starting quarterback, come on. It's crazy. Both teams had lost, were on a losing skid coming in. The Raiders had lost 2 in a row.
I mean, the thing I found surprising too was that Jonathan Taylor went off.
Yeah.
Against a team that is, I thought was pretty good against the run.
I thought it was pretty good against the run,
you know,
too.
I know. Their front four has been mean to everybody else. I don't know why they laid down this weekend.
Yeah, so 25-20, the Colts beating the Raiders as Jeff Saturday wins his coaching debut. All right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. As we continue, we're going to have Tyler Schlatter. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Schlatter.
Schlatter? Like Schlatter. Give me Schlatter. Okay, Ty Schlatter. 538 and the 3-and-out podcast. He'll be coming up at 40 past the hour to talk NFL as we continue.
The
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Ty Shalter is going to join us 5:38 and 3 and Out podcast in about 10 minutes. We'll talk to him about the NFL yesterday. From Germany all the way to Santa Clara, yesterday's NFL. So if you were an NFL guy that just loved watching NFL, you got it from, let's say if you're on the East Coast, from 9:30 in the morning to almost midnight.
Yeah.
Just solid NFL all the way through. There you go. So what would I do without Red Zone? I will tell you, man, Red Zone's the best.
Yeah, you'd be staring at your phone a lot or a computer a lot, I guess,
right? Sometimes you get dog games and you're like, I don't want that game.
Yeah.
I want the other
game.
That's
why I was happy. I mean, you know, I had the opportunity to watch Texans-Giants.
Right.
Obviously.
Right, why not?
And you know what? I mean, that game was somewhat entertaining because you got to see Saquon Barkley. Now, I was a little disappointed that he only went for 150-plus yards.
Right, he could have gone for 300.
Yeah, he should have. So, right. I mean, I was a little disappointed on that fact. But I was happy that the national game was carried, the Bills-Vikings game, because that game was hard to turn away from.
I had Titans-Broncos, but I had Bills-Vikings on my options. So I had that going down.
And that fourth quarter was...
The game was crazy. That game was so fun. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So I have a friend of mine, and she's a big Bills fan, and she wanted to know what she was on a wave a weekend with her family. And she's like, did they win? And I go, no. But it was the game of the year. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, that's the way I felt. I was like, I'm sorry. It's like, it was the game of the year. And I was like, it was so fun. That game was insane.
You know, back it up. I mean, the catches towards the end, that one catch by Stephon Diggs. I mean, you know, I love like the narrative on it. Where does that rank?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to put it out there. That was better than Odell Beckham Jr.'s.
That was fantastic. A one-handed,
you know, especially given the moment of the magnitude of the moment.
These guys are great with their one. I mean, these one-handed grabs.
Ridiculous.
They're incredibly good. Like when
that
I grew
thing
up,
stuck to his hand.
When I grew up, I don't remember wide receivers, the good ones, doing that.
No.
Other than like Fred Biletnikoff with a handful of stick-em. Like, like now they're just like grab the point of the football and that's it. It's all I need. Try to take it away. You know, it's like, and then Jefferson, he wrestled a ball away with one hand as he was falling to the ground.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And then one throw that Cousins made went through the eye of a needle through the defender's arms. It's beautiful.
And
they both played great.
The referees were on point. They made all the right calls there at the end. I mean, I thought, you know, that fourth and one, the quarterback sneak, which, by the way, that's the play you call.
Oh, right.
Where it's like fourth
sneak,
and inches,
sure.
Quarterback sneak. I mean, right. You don't waste any time giving it to a running back or, you know, trying to throw it right there.
Why take extra steps when you don't have to?
You know, I mean, we've seen so many teams try to get cute.
All you got to do is get the quarterback going and you get a push from the back.
Yeah.
And then you're
and,
in.
But they were right there on the spot. That guy knew. He's like, no, that ball didn't cross the line. It's on the half-yard line, Buffalo's ball.
There is nothing worse, man, when you're at the one-yard line and you just see a pile of bodies and you're like, man, they're never going to figure that out.
Yeah,
someone might get robbed here. But in this case, he did not. They did not get robbed. They did not get it in.
On that fumble, when Kendricks came up with the fumble,
yeah,
my wife said, he's never getting rid of that ball, is he?
No, never. I mean, that's great. Yeah, it's awesome. Well done.
He was hugging that thing, and he was like, no. Uh-uh, stop taking it away from me. This is mine.
No, I'm taking it.
It's coming home with me.
So, crazy. I mean, that, and then just for the, you know, there was I had a thought process of, I remember a game that the Broncos played years and years ago against the Patriots where Bill Belichick forced a safety. He was so tight, he just had Brady give up a safety. So they gave up the safety so that they gave the ball to Denver, and then they stopped Denver and allowed Brady to have the ball in a more reasonable situation, and then Brady led the team down the field, and they beat the Broncos. They it was Delta O'Neal, I think, was involved in the touchdown.
And I guess Buffalo could have done that, right? Because
Buffalo
could have
done
four.
So they were up. Yeah. So
they were up by four.
They were up by four. So they could have given the safety. And that would have put them up by, they would have put them up by two.
Because you're
trying to hold them off to kick the field goal, but your defense is one of the best defenses in the country. in the league. So you're going to try to kick it deep, pin them back on the punt, on the safety punt, and then hope your defense gets you the ball back and makes a play. Because that's the risky. Because the thing was, is that, but at the same time, because there was not hardly any time left. So
it was under a minute.
You know what I mean? So it was under a minute. So the one thing you can't do is fumble there. So what you do is you would take the safety, but then you would give them hardly any time to try to move downfield to kick a field goal. Okay, you still run the risk of them beating you on a field goal. But is anybody thinking you're going to fumble the ball? Like is anybody real? Like is when you're on the Bills and you're doing the data analytics, are you really thinking you're going to fumble the football at that particular moment?
The only thought that went through my mind was that he's not going to get out of the end zone.
Right.
That you're going to end up getting a safety here. I mean, so that's what I thought was going to happen regardless.
The goal is you have a 6'5 quarterback. You move it even microscopically. You're moving it enough and just keep the clock running. And keep moving it until the game is over.
Yeah, just have them fall so forward.
You can kneel a few times and be done with this thing. But then when they said fumble, and the thing is I didn't even see the fumble. All I saw was Minnesota players losing their mind.
Yeah.
Like, it was just this big pile, and then Minnesota players were screaming.
Whoever, I think it was number 7, who, he was the one on the outside who just started jumping up and down.
Screaming, and I went, oh, God, that was a fumble, and they got it.
And then you see the replay, and it was like, oh, Josh Allen never handled the snap.
Yeah. And then his interception in overtime was a terrible throw.
Yeah.
Terrible throw.
See, at least I could do that. I mean, Justin Herbert threw an interception in the game, but it was deflected.
Right.
And, and the guy just played center field perfectly, I guess, with Troy Polamalu's protege. Can't ever escape Polamalu. Got the same hair, too. God. But, I mean, he just played center field and was in the right spot, so I can't get mad at that last minute interception, but Josh Allen's, sometimes you try to do too much. Why not just keep throwing it to Knox?
Yeah, exactly.
That was working for you.
It's just so, yeah. So, the Bills, I'm not saying the Bills, if I'm the Buffalo right now, I'm just looking around being careful. I just got to be a little careful because as it's been pointed out now, if you were to see the playoffs right now, they'd be team number 6. The Jets and the Dolphins would actually be ahead of them. And we still got a lot of football left, but I'm the Bills. Just easy. Be careful.
Yeah,
because you're coming back into, again, a good little pool of 5-4, 7-2, 6-3, 6-4 football teams. You don't want to be in that. You don't want to be around that.
God, and if you're Tennessee, because right now you'd be, Tennessee would be getting them.
Yeah,
exactly. That's ugly.
I know. So you be careful, Buffalo Bills. We want to see playoff games in Buffalo. I want to, at least.
Yes.
I want to see a big game. Not beating New England in a wild card round. I mean, Kansas City, Buffalo in Buffalo.
In snow.
Miami, Buffalo Buffalo.
Isn't that why you're building an outdoor stadium with no roof?
Right. You could have built a dome, but you're not.
You're
keeping the elements.
So we need to see the elements.
So,
and not just a one-time shot either. We need you playing multiple games there.
Right now, you got 3 teams in the East, and the Patriots are not that far back at 5-4. That's crazy. And then you've got 2 teams in the AFC North, so that's 6 playoff teams.
Yeah.
And then there's 1 in the South right now, and if the Colts keep winning, we probably have to go, I guess we got to consider them. But right now, there's only 1 in Tennessee. That's 7. And then there's 9 with Kansas City and the Chargers. So, but there's 7 spots. So,
yeah. I'd rather have the Chargers than the Patriots. I just don't feel like the Patriots belong. And I might have just turned off New England.
Maybe so. Maybe you might have turned off New England.
Of Boston hates me now.
All right. Again, on Twitter, @ Tony D Radio, @ Ron Culver, that's Ron with 2N, Ty Schalter is going to join us 5:38, and also 3 and Out podcast as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Now on the Sports
Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, working on Ty Shalter again. Join us 538 and 3 and Out podcast on the NFL. So as we're getting closer and closer to that point where you can't really, like, you can't call people out yet if you're, like, if you got four wins and whatnot. Because, you know, you can before you know it, a couple of wins here and a couple of losses, it always tends to come around. We kind of know this in our experience with this league, but God, yesterday there were really meaningful outcomes, real meaningful outcomes, and not just emotionally, like Jeff Saturday winning, in his coaching debut against the Raiders, but that victory by Minnesota, it's still hitting me now. Like, it just still hits me how important that was for a team that, for most of us, we kind of were saying to Minnesota, yeah, but what have you really done? Well, what did they really do? They were 7-1 going into that game, right? And they were doing it under a first-year head coach. And they were looking a lot different than other Minnesota Vikings teams. But again, we tend to do this with teams that sort of disappoint us. And then all of a sudden they pull off this win, a really big win for them, a big win for them. It's not a divisional chase or a conference chase. But you go beat Buffalo in Buffalo, regardless of available wins or not, that's a big deal. Ty Shalter joins us 538 and 3 and Out podcast on Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. Hi, Ty. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. What was your takeaway from Buffalo's game? What was your takeaway from the Vikings going there and winning that one?
Yeah, obviously, we've been waiting all season for the Vikings to play, you know, an elite team, a tough opponent, and look like they belong there. Justin Jefferson, unbelievable performance. And he leads the league in catches where he had less than 50% expected chance of completion. And he came through again and again. Kirk Cousins made plays. You know, this is a team that was pushed to the limit, obviously caught a break there at the end with the fumble. But Josh Allen, again, how 100% is he? We don't know, but this is starting to be a weird trend where there are some big games that are making the difference between Buffalo being an elite team and Buffalo racking up a lot of wins and disappointing in clutch spots. So I think it's a big statement win for Minnesota that they belong up there with at least the Eagles and the NFC, and then they're not just catching breaks against bad teams.
In the end, I mean, the Bills are built well, but how careful should they be? It's two in a row now. This league doesn't – Miami doesn't seem to be going away. There's push in your own division. Baltimore keeps winning. Kansas City keeps winning. How careful should Buffalo be right now?
Yeah, there's no room for error in the AFC. It's a stacked conference. And again, if nothing else, it's these wild cards, right? You know, lost that tiebreaker to Miami, lost that tiebreaker to New York. I think they're going to continue to win more games than either of those two. It shouldn't have to come down to tiebreakers. Shouldn't have to come down to the divisional games at the end of the year. The roster's so stacked. They've been playing so well in these games that they haven't lost. But you got to be able to close these out. You got to be able to take advantage when you have the opportunity to win. And even if they, you know, run the table from here and they're the number one seed and everything breaks their way, you're still going to have to face good teams and beat them when they play well.
Green Bay Packers win in overtime with the Cowboys and ends a five-game losing skid. Christian Watson with three touchdowns. Is that the thing? Is that the piece? Or is this a still struggling team that found a way to do it? Because sometimes teams just find a way to do it, but there's still some issues there.
Yeah, this is certainly a circle of the wagon performance, right? You know, you lose to Detroit, and Aaron Rodgers in that game left a lot of big plays on the table. There are a lot of little mistakes, little things that didn't go their way against Detroit that they had to fix. And they went and got this game they had to get, but the Cowboys did not need to get. But this is still a team with a lot of problems. They still are not completing as many passes downfield. They still don't have receivers that you are scared of going downfield. They're not running the ball consistently well. And I think the loss of Rashawn Gary is going to have implications down the road because they need that pass rush to shorten the field for their secondary. So I still think this is a Green Bay Packers team with a lot of issues, and they certainly are not catching the Vikings at this point.
It's easy to talk about the teams that are doing well and struggling a little bit, or should be doing well and struggling. But I want to ask you about the Denver Broncos. Why can't they score? Somebody pointed out to me that if they had just gotten 18 points a game, they'd be 8-1 right now. Just 18 points, they'd be 8-1. Why can't they score?
Nathaniel Hackett is the shortest possible answer I can give you.
I think you're right.
You know, we can expound on that, but this is an offense that should be designed around what Russ can do. And the question is, how much can Russ do, right? How much was he being propped up in Seattle? He had Tyler Lockett, who's like maybe the best receiver in terms of running under a ball and going and getting it. Same thing, DK Metcalf. You know, do you have receivers? I like Jerry Jeudy. Obviously, he goes out with the injury. You know, Cortland Sutton, he's a good piece, but neither of those guys are ones that can go run out under a deep ball. And Russell Wilson is just not throwing like he used to, and he's certainly not moving like he used to. And I think that's the biggest problem. I also, when that trade first got reported, I was like, oh man, I really like Russell Wilson with Noah Fant. And then the report came back, oh, and Noah Fant went too. And I go, you look at the guys, he needs that short, big strike zone guy as that hot read, as that option. He needs somebody who can win that one-on-one in a contested situation quick, and he needs guys who can run under balls deep that he can just launch up and throw. Because if he can't get himself open with his feet, and if he can't gain yards with his feet, he's not beating people with just his arm, even at his peak, and he's certainly nowhere near his peak right now.
All right, the Dolphins. Could you make the case that the Dolphins are the best team in the AFC with what they are not messing around? They go out and get Bradley Chubb. They know who they have offensively. Yeah. Tua Tagovailoa is not losing football games. Maybe we love Kansas City a lot, and we should, but the Dolphins are not playing here. I mean, they are not messing around.
No, this is a serious, serious team. They know what they've got. They've built the right way. This is the antithesis of Denver, right? They went, what does Tua Tagovailoa do well? He throws it accurate short. What if a guy like Tyreek Hill need? He's a yak guy. He needs that ball placed so he can catch the ball, not break stride, and use that speed, just turn it upfield and go. Get Jalen Waddle in there. Gesicki, they've worked into the offense again. So it's like, this is a team that knows how to throw the ball and score. But you're right, they went all in, got Chubb, and added depth to that defense, which is huge. And then they're not messing around. They're going for the top guns in the AFC. And I love Mike McDaniel. I love what he's doing with that team. They believe in themselves, and I think other people should too. At the beginning of the year, I called them the team of maybe adequacy, maybe not destiny. I was a little short on destiny. I'm like, I really like what the Dolphins are doing. I didn't think they'd be able to stand at the best in the AFC, but maybe destiny is the team that they are.
Should the Bears fans say, all right, we ain't winning, but man, this quarterback is a lot more fun to watch than we've had in decades around here?
Oh, man, I was a big Justin Fields believer coming out of that draft. I saw flashes all last year. I'm like, man, he puts those plays together. Reminds me a little of Colin Kaepernick, where, you know, he'd get the ball, make a guy miss, shed a tackle, move in the pocket, keep the play alive, and then do like a cross-body throw and put it on somebody. I'm like, man, there are so few quarterbacks that have all those tools and can show them all at once. They can build around him. They've got something. And then they built almost opposite of around him.
Yeah.
No weapons. So the run blocking offensive line, but now you're starting to see him come into his own. He's so dangerous. And you're absolutely right. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, you have to love this because you know you've got the quarterback problem solved. You know you've got a game-changing guy. You know you've got a clutch guy. He throws a pick six. Basically, the next play takes it to the house himself. You know, like to come back and bounce back like that, that shows the tenacity. And then at the end of the game, you take that L, you bump your draft pick higher up the board, and you move on for it next year. And I think we're going to see this a lot with the Bears. Down the rest of this schedule, they're going to prove over and over again they're a young team on the rise. Justin Fields is a quarterback who is going to be a lot of fun to watch for a long time to come. But they're not there yet, and they're not trying to be there yet.
I never want to take away from a record, but how are the Giants at 7-2, how do we look or should we look at this football team?
I don't know, man. I don't know. The NFL is a funny, funny league, and sometimes small things can make the difference. And sometimes, you know, you wait for that regression to the mean. You wait for this team where you look at all the advanced metrics. You look at their overall team strength. They should not have the record that they have, but they have it. And we're deep enough in the season now that it doesn't matter how many wins they should or shouldn't have, how much they should or shouldn't have outscored people by, because they have those wins banked. They only need 3-4 more to make sure they're in the postseason. And as they've already shown, they can play with anybody on any given Sunday. Brian Daboll has to be in the conversation for Coach of the Year. He's gone from Buffalo, and he's done exactly what we thought he might do, but he's done it about a year or two faster than we thought he possibly could have. Daniel Jones continues to make one or two plays a game where you go, maybe Danny Dimes really is Danny Dimes. I don't know. I still think, again, this team has flaws. There's no depth. It's very limited in what they can do, but the things they can do, they're doing well, and they're executing.
Tampa Bay, is this the game? Is that the game that sort of sparks them up and go, look, let's get ourselves out of this muck that is in our own division. We shouldn't be swimming around with Carolina and Atlanta and New Orleans. We need to separate ourselves. Was that the game that sort of could spark them into that run?
Yeah, you know, you hope so, and you hope offensive line can continue to gel, because I think that's part of it, is being able, you got to be able to run the ball at least a little, you know, and you got to be able to have, I think they need to continue to work more play action into the offense. You go to 538.com and look this up. Tom Brady is every bit as effective on play action as he's ever been, even as he's been ineffective in some of the other throws, some of the other routes, some of the other situations. He's starting to get a little of the swag back, starting to get a little of his arm back, starting to make some of the passes and throws that we expect from him. They need to continue to build on that momentum, need to believe in themselves and finish up front, finish those blocks, give him more time and give more running lanes to guys. And, you know, Leonard Fournette, I don't know if it's physical. I don't know if he's lost a step, but you've got to find a solution. There are running backs out there. You have to be able to get the ball on the ground more and continue to get more balance in that offense.
Ty Schalter again, 538, 3 and Out podcast. Great stuff, my friend. Hope we get you on again soon. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, anytime.
Good times, good times. All right, we come back. Thoughts, final thoughts on the NFL as we continue along. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks to Ty Schalter, 538. Good website, by the way. Wasn't the 538 website, weren't they politics? Because the 538 was the electoral college number.
Yeah, I think they still dabble in that a little bit.
They still do that. Yeah. But you can get a lot of sports analytics there,
too. You get a lot of sports
too.
Now. Yeah, they're like branching out.
They've really
out.
Expanded. They've really expanded. So good stuff. If you like that kind of thing, if you like numbers and things like that, it's a really good place to go to. Ty Schalter again, 538. And also, 3 and Out podcast. Hey, we're approaching heavy weather season, and it did get me thinking driving should be an enjoyable experience, of course, even when it's raining. But you know what's the worst situation? You're listening to something great on the radio, favorite song, great radio show like ours, suddenly everything is ruined because when you turn those wipers on, it's embarrassing. It's dangerous too. That's when you know you need new wipers. Don't let squeaky wipers ruin the great moments. You should be able to hear clearly. So buy Michelin wipers. Michelin is always reminding drivers how important it is to regularly check their wipers for safety on the road, and even made it an official holiday, and it's coming up Wednesday. It's International Check Your Wipers Day, November 16th. So don't forget, check your wipers. It's simple to update your wipers to Michelin. Pick them up at Walmart today. All right, so the Giants at 7-2. Now look, the Giants are feasting on some easy teams. I mean, the Texans and Jacksonville, but they've beaten the Ravens, who people love. They beat the Packers at the time where beating the Packers was kind of a big deal. They beat the Bears. They beat Carolina. They beat Tennessee. So, but
hey,
here's the thing.
I mean, no, listen, their counterparts, their division rivals couldn't beat the Packers.
That's right. That's right. So here are the Giants at 7-2. I don't know what kind of 7-2 this is, and I don't know how far they're going to go. But you know what it is? It's like there's going to be a moment where they're going to be like in the postseason going, hi, yeah, we're here. We're here. And everyone's going to go, where have you been all these years? I'm like, man, you know, we'll see what they do. It's like you list the best actor nominees at the Oscars, and it's one guy that started one movie his career. It's like, hey, we don't even know how to do this. Eh, I just went and act. The Giants could be like a 10-win team. It could be 10-7.
I think they're going to be.
I mean, this.
Why not?
Why not? They run the ball really well, and again, and they're feasting on the teams that they should. But you know, I hate to say this because they've been so bad for a while that even a game like Jacksonville and Houston, I wouldn't go, well, the Giants should beat those. I'd be like, if I'm Houston, why wouldn't I beat the Giants of old? But Brian Daboll has done a magnificent job, so good for them at 7-2. And like Ty said, hey, look, they're just a couple of wins away, and then they'll be a lock for the postseason. And that's right. We said this when they were on their little mini run. We're like, eventually you're going to put up a lot of wins where you don't need to go 6-2 in your final eight to make the playoffs. You could go 2-6 and make the playoffs because you're building up all of these wins. And, you know, that's the Giants right now. So, yeah, it's you never know with this league. Like, we were just talking about all the teams that in the AFC that should be in a position to make them, you know, be talking about. We came up with nine, right? Right now there's 9 for 7 of the teams that if you're Buffalo, you kind of need to be careful with. All four teams in the East, even the Patriots at the bottom at 5-4, two teams in the North, Baltimore and Cincinnati, the Tennessee Titans, Kansas City and the Chargers. But in the NFC, it's a little bit more complex. The Eagles are the tops, Minnesota is the top, and then you've got Tampa Bay with Atlanta still on their heels. Seattle has come back a bit to San Francisco. There's a half a game that separates both of them. Arizona. Oh, by the way, we didn't even talk about Arizona and the Rams.
No.
That was the game of backup quarterbacks. Colt McCoy played for Arizona.
Who's Colt McCoy?
Yeah, right? Didn't you tell me Colt McCoy was the backup?
Yes.
Last week?
Just last week. I said, let's figure it out. And then, boom, there it is.
Because I said, like, I don't even know who the backup for Arizona is. We looked it up. Well, he was needed. So Colt McCoy beat the Rams, and the Rams were led by John Walford. Haven't we had him before in this league? Haven't we seen him in action before?
Sure.
I want to say
that name doesn't
ring
that roll off the tongue like anybody else.
Right.
Colt the Rams McCoy. Had somebody else though.
Colt McCoy sounds like a quarterback's name.
He always has.
Like if you were to like, you know what I'll do? I'll write a Hollywood script about a small high school football team. And what's your quarterback's name? Well, what's a good quarterback name? Colt sounds like Colt what? Well, I don't know. McCoy? Colt McCoy. That's my quarterback. Yeah, that sounds like you would write that into a fictional story. But John Walford went to Wake Forest. He played for Matt Stafford in a loss to the Arizona Cardinals. 212, a touchdown and a pick. Nevertheless.